This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome along to the Betting Weekly La Liga podcast in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook, alongside myself, Dan Robert Ruibalo, football editor, or editor of Football España, and freelance Spanish football journalist, Alan Feeling. Brilliant tipping last week. We nailed the Clásico. It makes me think that if only Drake had got in touch with us or had watched the show before he put $800,000 on Barcelona, then he would have won some money. So, Drake, if you are watching, and I believe that, although you probably didn't watch it last week, you are a regular watcher of the show. So hopefully you've tuned in this week and you'll get some good advice this time around. Alan, did Real Madrid deserve to win, do you think?
Not according to Xavi, who said that they lose Barcelona, which I find kind of hard to believe. I think that while a lot of the kind of reaction of the defeat by Barcelona was maybe a bit overblown, maybe dramatic, maybe emotional, given that it came in the context of the exit from the Champions League the previous Wednesday against Inter Milan as well. I think that it was quite clear that Madrid are very superior to Barcelona at this moment in time, that they effectively took their foot off the gas when they scored that third goal, Karim Benzema, and it was disallowed. They kind of, you know, eased up a bit, which is quite remarkable, and almost allowed Barcelona into the game by virtue of that. You know, the Santiago Bernabeu, it was a kind of a Sunday afternoon, and they were singing Olés, they were singing Xavi, we want you to stay. They were singing about the Europa League. It was quite a kind of a celebratory atmosphere, obviously, with, you know, the anticipation of Karim Benzema going on to win the Ballon d'Or the next day, last night in Paris, and Thibaut Courtois also winning Goalkeeper of the Year. Although Madrid didn't win Club of the Year for some bizarre reason, they lost to both Man City and Liverpool, even though they won the Champions League, which I find kind of hard to understand. But yeah, I think they deserved it, to be honest with you, completely. I think that it's made me reassess what I believe is going to happen in the title race this season, having backed Barcelona before the first kick. And also it's made me kind of, you know, worry for Barcelona in terms of how they pick themselves up after this, because the kind of the air has gotten out of the balloon in many ways. Pressure is beginning to come on Xavi for the first time. And, you know, his project and his ability as a coach begin to be called into question. So I think it was a very interesting game with some very interesting ramifications for not just the title race, but also for the rest of the season.
Rory, latest futures with BetRivers. Real Madrid -139, shortest price they've been this season. Barcelona +125. Your assessment of the market and just your thoughts on the Clásico from last weekend.
Yeah, I think it makes sense that Barcelona drop in a lot of people's estimations. I still think that we're very early in the season. I mean, we've had 9 games. I mean, it's a quarter of the season. So how this plays out after the World Cup, I think, will define the league title as much as anything, because I think we're coming into a sort of period of the season that nobody's ever really experienced before, certainly not at this level of football. So how Real Madrid manage that? Real Madrid do have a sort of more aging squad than Barcelona. Their fitness has been very good in recent seasons. Antonio Pintus, the fitness coach, has been massive for them. And under Carlo Ancelotti, they've managed to sort of like really manage their minutes. And that's why Luka Modric is still at such a good level. That's why Toni Kroos was fantastic at the weekend. And so, yeah, depending on how they do after the World Cup, I think that will define it for Barcelona. I think it's key that they just get through to the World Cup, and they need to be within sort of 3-4 points. If they can do that, I think the season more or less starts again in January. And I think it will be, yeah, I think it will still be an interesting title race, because you don't have to win the Clásicos to win a league title, as we've seen before. If Barcelona sort of, if Real Madrid are to drop points in the second half of the season, Barcelona will probably just need a draw in that Clásico. So yeah, I think this was always a danger. I mean, we've got a side that, as Xavi said, is in construction. I think there are clear flaws there, as Alan points out, but those flaws are much easier to clear up when you have Araujo and Koundé in the side. Koundé was back, Araujo wasn't. And yeah, I think this will be a point of inflection for Barcelona in the sense that either Xavi will fail to correct his mistakes, the season will go downhill, or Xavi will maybe reassess, as Alan says, his own sort of view of this Barcelona side and make the improvements necessary.
Well, we've got a midweek card for you here. We've got games Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Selections across the three games. So pens and paper ready, Drake, if you are watching. We're going to kick off with Sevilla against Valencia. Alan, Sevilla plus 130, Valencia plus 220. Drake, the draw, got Drake on the mind, plus 245. Have Sevilla turned the corner here? Alan, you're going for a home win in this one.
Yeah, and just regarding Drake, I think it's not surprising that Barcelona failed to deliver because of how tight that game was. Maybe more so that Arsenal managed to deliver. Remarkable. So Arsenal broke the curse at least. But yeah, regarding Sevilla's game, it's interesting. I mean, like I said many times this season, I've always expected Sevilla to turn a corner and backed them several times. And each time, practically, they fail. They fail me and let me down. But this time, I think the conditions are just right for a home win. So I'm going to back Sevilla to beat Valencia at the Sanchez Pizjuan. It's plus 130 when I last checked. It's an interesting game because Valencia are actually in very good form. I mean, I think everybody predicted that Gennaro Gattuso was going to be a car crash when they appointed him in the summer. You know, such a combustible coach with such a combustible club never seemed like a good fit. And most people were backing him to be the first manager to be sacked or to walk away or whatever. But it's not worked out that way. He's done a very good job. He's managed to kind of unite the team together. He talked before the season began about getting the right character of player into the team. Losers, he was his phrase, you know, guys who have suffered setbacks in their careers and personal lives and need their time at Valencia to kind of, you know, help them and kind of revitalize their careers and kind of resurrect their progress as individuals. And it's so far worked. I mean, they're, you know, pushing on for the place in maybe the Europa Conference League or the Europa League this season. Probably an outside bet for the latter, but definitely in the mix for the former. They've already leapfrogged Osasuna, who started the season so well. And Sevilla, you know, are also in a good moment. They're not quite turned a corner, I would say. Like, I mean, their victory over Mallorca was fortuitous in that. And Nemanja Gurel scored the best goal he's ever going to score. It's his first goal in La Liga, an absolute rocket from about 35, almost 40 yards out, straight in the top corner. And it was quite a tough game against Mallorca too, on the road at in the Balearic Islands. But I think, you know, home game at the Sanchez Pizjuan, the fans have seen enough to kind of believe that they could be on the road to something better, something more impressive and important. Sampaoli has had more time to work with his players and kind of, you know, get his methods in. We saw the quite spirited Champions League draw against Borussia Dortmund last week. So I think the conditions are right for Sevilla under Sampaoli to kind of, you know, put up a good performance against this Valencia team. It's probably the pick of the match day, I would say, in terms of the two, you know, biggest clubs comparatively going against each other, maybe with the exception of Barcelona and Villarreal. So it's going to be a very interesting game. And I think that Sevilla have enough about them. There's enough positive momentum there. The players have enough self-belief. The negativity and toxicity is kind of, you know, left the club, you could say, to a degree. So I think that they're a good bet to go and beat Valencia, even though Valencia have been impressive recently and even though Valencia will pull up a good performance, I'm sure.
Yeah, Valencia unbeaten in four, but Sevilla unbeaten since Sampaoli came in and have got a good record against Valencia. Plus 138, we like the home win. Let's move on to Getafe, Rory against the Athletic Club. Getafe plus 340 here, Athletic Club a minus 110. Maybe unlucky not to get something from the game against Atleti last weekend. Rory, you're weighing in with an away win here.
Yeah, minus 110. And as you say, I think that Atleti performance from Athletic was unfortunate, to say the least. I mean, this is always the danger with Athletic, that they don't score, that they don't put away their chances. And this is going to be the danger in this game as well. But I looked at an inconsistent Getafe side, a Getafe side that picked up two good wins against Real Sociedad and Osasuna earlier in the season. But apart from that, we've rarely seen the performances or the results that we kind of expected from this Getafe side. And theoretically, this is a team that I think is going to struggle to deal with Athletic, because they've kept 3 clean sheets all season out of 9, which isn't disgraceful for a side lower down the table. But looking at Athletic, this is exactly the sort of team that they've been very strong against Cadiz, against Elche, against these more defensive sides down the bottom of the table who scrap. Athletic have really sort of had their fun away from home, scored sort of 10, 12 goals against those kind of sides. So yeah, there's been 3 red cards as well for Getafe, and I just don't think that they have enough momentum to put in the performance that Athletic would be able to, or would require them to get a point from this, in my view. Enes Unal is another sort of, he's their main factor. He's their, I used the term totem pole for Vedat Muriqi last week, and he is their totem pole. But Athletic Club, the defenders they have, Yeray, Dani Bibian, Inigo Martinez, they're all very physical, very tall, very imposing central defenders. And so that takes away some of the threat of Enes Unal, who tends to, or the idea is that he bullies his central defenders. Athletic, as you say, can count themselves kind of unfortunate. And there's a chance that they do rotate a little bit in this match, but I'm not sure if that necessarily hurts them. I think it's always good if you've got a side that's in form and competitive. You add 1 or 2 players in that are fighting for their place. I think that can boost a side as much as just playing your strongest 11. They obviously face Barcelona next weekend, but they do have 2 days extra rest on the Blaugrana. So there's a chance, I think, that Valverde doesn't take that too much into account. And yeah, I think these are sides that, or Getafe are the exact sort of side that we've seen Athletic's jump in quality this season. It's these games in which Ernesto Valverde has made the biggest difference from Marcelino. And so, yeah, I'm backing Athletic to win -110, as you say.
Incidentally, red card to be given in the game, +265. Getafe to be given a red card, +480. Check out the prop bets on the Bet Rivers website for that one. Rory, Cadiz Betis for you next. Betis +114-ish away from home to win this one, 115, something like that. They've been fluctuating over the last sort of 24 hours or so. And you like Real Betis to win this one.
Yeah, Cadiz, I think, they're a better side than most people give them credit for. And I understand they don't have the quality that a lot of teams in La Liga do, but they're unbeaten in 4. And they're still 19th, which shows you kind of how poor their start was. But they consistently have a habit of seeming to get lucky or seeming to ride their way through games without actually being beaten. That happened against Girona at the weekend, where they sort of conceded a 110th minute penalty, I believe it, or 100th minute penalty, sorry, it was, to drop the 2 points and go away with a draw. But it was a game I kind of expected to play out similarly to this match, and the fact that Betis will have most of the ball, Betis will dominate, Betis will be trying to create chances. The difference is that Girona don't have the quality that Betis do, and their 3-1 win over Almeria at the weekend, they were curious in the sense that it was kind of the opposite of what we've seen from Betis a lot in this season. They were sloppy at the back, they were pretty open, but they were fantastic to watch. They were free-flowing, they were really sort of in their sauce as they were playing. Canales was in fantastic form, Borja Iglesias giving assists, William Carvalho sort of being a differential factor in midfield. So I expect Betis to continue their winning ways. I think the fact that they are okay, yeah, maybe they didn't play a perfect sort of rounded game that Manuel Pellegrini would have liked against Almeria. Cadiz are not the side that will be able to exploit that as much. And so I think Betis just have enough to win. I think these are decent odds, to be honest. And for me, if you have to pick out a differential factor, it's Borja Iglesias, who's just in fantastic form. So yeah, Betis to win, +115 it was when I checked. I don't know, did you have an update there?
Well, it's roughly the same. So it's +114 on the website at the moment. But yeah, we're splitting hairs there. Alan, just one to you on Betis, because you talked about Sevilla earlier and potentially getting a European place. I mean, does it feel like there is a Champions League spot up for grabs this season? Betis are +225 to finish in the top four.
Yeah, I said at the beginning of the season that Betis was my pick for the top four. I'm sticking by that. I really do think they're the best side of those sides because, as Rui alluded to, they weren't perfect against Almeria on Sunday evening, but this Betis team aren't one of those teams that need to be perfect to succeed. Like Villarreal, for instance, have to be on the ball, performing well to get results. If they don't, if they have to deal with a bit of chaos, a bit of unpredictability, they often kind of freeze and they fail to get results over the line. That's why they're better suited to playing, you know, high stakes European two-legged games than league games. We've seen that with their form this season. They've dropped off a bit. And, you know, once again, even though people talk them up as if they're the best team in the country in the first few weeks of the season, they generally disappoint and they've done it again. And Betis are better at responding to that uncertainty, not just because of Borja Iglesias, but also because the likes of, you know, Sergio Canales, who is in really good form as well after coming back from injury. And he's, you know, again, staking his claim as one of the best midfield players in Spanish football. He's a fantastic footballer in the prime of his career, you could say. There's also a couple of other factors, I think, regarding this game against Cadiz that I think are interesting. I've been to Cadiz many times when I live in Seville. It's only an hour away by train, an hour 20 minutes, hour 15 minutes. So, you know, Betis already have the best support, the best away support in the whole of Spain. And I would bet that there'll be a huge Betis crowd at that game in Cadiz tomorrow evening. So, yeah, I think the circumstances are all right for Betis to get a good victory. You know, the stadium will be pretty packed. Lots of Betis fans there, not just people who live in and around Cadiz who support Betis, but also people making the hour-long train journey from Sevilla. And, you know, they have a superior football team. So I would definitely back them to win that game, like already said. And I would, like I said earlier, back them to go and finish top four as well, because, as you mentioned, there is definitely an open space there.
Incidentally, Borja Iglesias plus 400 to get the first goal, plus 155 to score at any time. You could argue, Rory, that Real Sociedad are the form team at the moment. They've won the last seven in all competitions here. We've got to try and squeeze a bit of value out of their game against Real Mallorca. This is on Wednesday, 8 o'clock local. La Real minus 182. They are short price favourites. Mallorca plus 160, draw plus 230. How are we tackling this one?
Yeah, I've gone La Real to win over 1.5 goals. That gets you minus 118 when I last checked. And yeah, that seven-game winning run, I'm always a little bit nervous when I see big, long runs, because although it means your team is in form, it also sometimes means that that's about to break or it sets it up for
Don't
a bad
be so
result.
Negative.
But I'll explain the rationale behind the actual pick, which is Mallorca-Sevilla. I mean, Mallorca really pushed Sevilla more than I expected them to. They were pretty good in the first 20 minutes. In the last 20 minutes, they forced Bono into some really, really good saves. But they're missing Muriqi again. This is his second game of suspension. And without him, they just don't have that killer instinct. Abdon Prats missed two very presentable opportunities. And then towards the end of the game, they just couldn't find a way past Bono. And I think that'll be a similar problem for them here against Real Sociedad, who, as you say, they're in very good form. I think that victory against Celtic sort of confirmed my take on Real Sociedad, certainly at the start of the season, because we know they struggle in the second half of the season. But right now, they are a team that's in form, they're in rhythm. As you say, as Alan said about Betis, they don't have to be perfect to win games. They weren't perfect against Celta, but they were pretty good. They took their chances, and whenever they needed to raise their level to get through the match, they did. The likes of Alexander Sturlot is in good form. Take Kubo, we talked about him previously. He's just been fantastic for my money. The fact that even though Martin Zubimendi, who's been one of the best midfielders in the division, literally presented Iago Aspas with a goal on a plate at the weekend, they sort of overcame that. Zubimendi continued in the same kind of fashion. That speaks to the kind of confidence that Imanol Aguathil's side are playing with right now. And yeah, I think, again, there's a chance that they rotate, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, because I think Real Sociedad are a team that whenever they sort of throw someone in, particularly a youngster, they seem to come up with performances against Sheriff Tiraspol on Thursday. Robert Navarro came on, scored his first goal, got an assist in the game. Beñat Torrientes started the match and was very tidy. And although Real Mallorca are a better opposition than Sheriff Tiraspol, I think, yeah, this is just a team that's playing really confidently. And Mallorca, although they're well organised and they've been better away from home, I don't think they necessarily have enough to trouble this Real Sociedad side without Muriqi. And so I think once that game gets a little bit stretched, spaces will open up for La Real. I think the danger of this match in my view, is more that La Real don't score two rather than Mallorca taking a draw from this. So yeah, Real Sociedad to win over 1.5 goals, minus 118.
Two Thursday games to rattle through with Alan. First up, 8 o'clock local, we've got Osasuna against Espanyol. Osasuna are the favourites, plus 108. But they were beaten last night at Villarreal. And they've just started to slide down the table a little bit, Alan, here. But they are favourites to beat Espanyol here. And you like the home win.
Yeah, I'm backing Osasuna to win that game. You said it was one away. I think it was 120 when I checked, so it might have shifted slightly.
And that's fine. If it gets a little bit bigger, that's good for the bettors.
It was surprising because Osasuna lost 2-0 last night to Villarreal on the road. So you think that that would increase their odds, but obviously not. But yeah, I think that, you know, similar to what Rory was saying in terms of he's wary of backing teams who are on a winning streak because that streak will inevitably come to an end. And the longer it becomes, the more likely it is that it will come to an end. And kind of looking at an opposite logic, if that makes sense, for Osasuna, because they're not in a good run of form. And we've spoken with them before this season. They started very well. I think both myself and Rory always thought that their position was a kind of false one. And they weren't going to sustain a top four challenge for the course of the season. They just don't have enough depth in their squad. They don't have enough quality to do that. They can't compete with the likes of Real Betis and Real Sociedad and Villarreal and the like. But I think they do have enough to maybe push for a Europa Conference League or a Europa League place, similar to what I was talking about Valencia earlier. And that's their more kind of tier of opposition, tier of club they're competing with right now. You know, playing at home in El Sadar, a night game. It's been a while since they had one of those at home. I really think that there could be a good atmosphere there. I think that Osasuna have enough about them on paper to beat Espanyol, who've been pretty disappointing so far in Diego Martinez, even though everybody, I think, had a lot of high hopes for them this season. I mean, I know they won at the weekend, but that was against Real Valladolid, who are, you know, one of the worst teams in the division. I really do think that, you know, with Chimi Avila, who I thought didn't do too badly against Villarreal last night, a couple of good chances, they have enough firepower. I think they're defensively solid enough. And I think that, you know, coming up against a team of Villarreal's quality isn't indicative of theirs, because Villarreal are, on their day, a very good side. But, you know, Arnau Dojuma, who scored two goals last night, is, you know, when he's on form, one of the best attackers in Spain. So I don't think that we can read too much into that result. Like I said, I don't think that Osasuna are going to sustain kind of top four challenge this season. So we can expect a bit of inconsistency from them. And going by that logic again, I think that they'd be willing to bounce back and beat an Espanyol team who just aren't firing on all cylinders so far this season for whatever reason. So, you know, that coupled with the fact that it's at home at El Sadar, I would think that Osasuna have enough about them to get the result. And that's why I'm backing them.
Okay, Osasuna, it'd be interesting to see if the market makers just reassess after that defeat last night. So keep your eyes on the Bet Rivers website for any changes when it comes to the odds. Finally, Barcelona Villarreal here. We've got the weekly battle to try and get some value out of Barcelona playing at home. They're minus 205 just to win the game. Villarreal plus 540, draw plus 375. And Alan, you are tipping Barcelona to bounce back, and you're expecting a few goals in this one as well.
Yeah, I am. I'm going Barcelona to beat Villarreal, and you know, in a game that has over 2.5 goals, which was plus 107 when I checked last night. I just think that, like I said earlier at the top of the show, I don't think Barcelona are as bad as people are thinking they are based upon their defeats to Internazionale. Well, they didn't lose to them last week, but they were knocked out of the Champions League effectively, and their defeat against Real Madrid on Sunday afternoon. I think that they actually played quite well against Internazionale. They were probably the better team. Their defensive frailties exposed them. And that's probably why I think also that, you know, until they have Araujo back, until they have, you know, a fully functioning defense, they are going to be susceptible to transitions and to direct balls in on top of the likes of Eric Garcia, who, while he offers a lot in possession, is quite weak out of it. I think Villarreal have the tools to damage them, and that's why I think Villarreal will score two, and that's why I think it'd be over 2.5 goals. I don't think Barcelona are going to run up a big score against them. I don't think they're going to win the game 3 or 4-0 as they have done in, you know, previous seasons in Camp Nou, but I think they will win. I think that they'll be hurting after the Clásico and after the Internazionale game. They'll be hurting having gone to the Ballon d'Or ceremony last night and seeing Madrid take, you know, pretty much a clean sweep of the individual awards, even though I know that Gavi won the Copa trophy. I think Xavi will play his strongest team. And by that, I mean he won't be leaving Gavi on the bench like he did against Real Madrid for some inexplicable reason. I think that, you know, Robert Lewandowski will be hurting from not just seeing Benzema win the award that he's coveted for so long, but also from, you know, once again failing to perform in a big game for Barcelona against Real Madrid. I think he would have earmarked scoring at the Bernabeu. And I know he got an assist, but he didn't score. And that's fundamentally what he cares about. So I would back him to score the first goal as well, which was plus 240 the last time I checked. I just think Barcelona have too much of them. I think, as you mentioned earlier with Rory, Barcelona aren't as bad as people are making them out to be. They still have a very good record in La Liga. They still have the best defense in La Liga, having conceded only 4 goals. Before Sunday, there was only 1 goal they conceded. They still have enough to win the vast majority of games in La Liga. It's, as you know, people have mentioned recently, coming up against the top-tier European sides and coming up against the likes of Real Madrid is where they'll falter and where they'll continue to falter until they address the issues they have in their defense. But as I mentioned earlier, I think they have too much about them to not win this game, especially with the extra incentive of the humiliation they've suffered over the last week or so. So yeah, a night game in the Camp Nou, I would expect a big crowd there, good atmosphere, pressure on Xavi and the players for sure. The gauntlet has been laid down for them to respond, so I'm expecting to do so.
Okay, that wraps up all of the official picks. Let's just recap them for you. So if you want to get involved with the boys' selections over the course of this midweek card, these are the selections from both Alan and from Rory for you. Obviously, the boys were in fantastic form last week, so we're hoping for something similar. And I'd like Sevilla to beat Valencia plus 130, Osasuna to get the better of Espanyol plus 120, and Barcelona to win against Villarreal, but we're going for over 2.5 goals in the game as well, around about plus 107 for Rory. Athletic to beat Getafe, minus 100. Real Betis to get the better of Cadiz, plus 115. And then we like Sociedad to defeat Mallorca, over 1.5 goals in that one, minus 118. You can see that our La Liga profit and loss there is minus 398. So we're just under for the season, but a really good week last week. Let's not forget about that. We've just got time. We heard from Alan looking at Lewandowski to get the first goal, plus 240. Rory, have you got something that's not an official tip, but if people want to get involved with something else, the lean for the week for the midweek card?
Yeah, Atleti to beat Rayo at home over 1.5 goals gets you minus 110 back. I think that's pretty nice odds. I think Rayo defensively have been struggling. I think, well, they got a clean sheet at the weekend, but we've seen them concede goals, especially away from home this season. Atleti, I think they were very much reinforced by that Athletic win. I think that was important for them, and I think against the Rayo team that leaves more spaces than Athletic do, that have less of a threat, as we saw against Getafe, they were a better team but couldn't convert their chances. I think that those are the ingredients that Leti need to score a couple goals. I think it could be a pretty similar game to the one we saw against Girona a couple of weeks ago, where they won 2-1. They were pretty poor and Girona probably should have got a point, but ultimately Atleti came out with a win. So yeah, Atleti minus 110 and over 1.5 goals in that one.
Yeah, that's a lean if you want something extra. If the boys are going well, you can weigh in with that one. And just to let you know, of course, we are transparent with all of our selections across all of the leagues that we cover. We've not done as well as other leagues over the course of this season, but we are fighting back. So if you want to get involved with any other leagues that we cover, always make sure that you are across at Because We Win. All of the highlights, all of the selections, and of course the broadcast can be found on our YouTube channel as well. Following Ligue 1 this season, it's been a profitable experience, as you can see, but we are battling our way back up the table. That's the Handicappers League table for you, which we will show you every week to see what our progress is doing. That wraps it up for the midweek card. Remember, games Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Alan, Rory, thanks for your company over the course of the last half an hour or so. And we're back on Friday to look at the weekend's action. Is that correct?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I'm getting nods from everybody. Alan, Rory, thank you very much. Many thanks to everyone who's tuned in this week. We'll be back on Friday for more selections when it comes to all of the action in La Liga.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.